What's your favourite audiobook? Well, I don't do favourites really, but I do like listening to books being read on the radio, BBC Radio. Talking of the BBC, they made a recording of, not a book, but a play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, back in the day. It wasn't the original cast. I'd left the company by then. But there was an issue of the cassette, which you can't get for love nor money now, I understand. However, if you are a certain documented person that can go to the British Library and look into their archives, you can hear one better than that. You can hear a live recording of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead from the stage of the Old Vic Theatre in 1967. You can hear the traffic faintly through the dock doors. You can hear the audience laugh. Ah, that's music to my ears, of course. And you can hear the sound of the electric curtain. Do any of you remember that electric curtain? Going up in the dark. Yes, that's a particularly fond memory. Where angels fear to tread, there is in that book a wonderful scene describing a provincial opera performance in a small town, San Gimignano, possibly. And it's a tawdry event, but it's very spirited, being Italian. And of course, it's written with a passionate attention to detail and a sort of onward momentum. Those passages in books are very splendid to read. You fluff left times because you're on a sort of emotional umbilical cord with the actual spirit of the author. The similar passage, though totally different and very English, but a similar sense of achievement and brio is in The Go-Between, the cricket scene in Alpie Hartley's Go-Between. Marvellous. The extraordinary atmosphere in Oscar Wilde's famous Dorian Gray is constantly a wonder. And I once did a 2-CD version of Tolstoy's War and Peace, a ridiculous abridgment, of course. And a young person who heard it a year or two ago said, what an extraordinary period reading it was. I did. Think about that. Ah, well, each to his own. Somebody told me that they'd worn out their copy of Muriel Spark's Memento Mori. They'd liked listening to all the different voices of the characters so much. And I don't believe it's been transferred to CD. But Memento Mori was another wonderful chance to show off, I suppose. Doing a wonderful collection of contrasting characters. I haven't heard it for years. Emily and I recorded a double CD of prose and poetry. David might have plans to reissue it, I'm told. As for approaching a book, an audiobook, it's a question of entering into a state of being, if that doesn't sound too highfalutin. Several states, of course. Sight reading, some people do well, even on first sight, and even if that first sight is in the studio. I like to read the book at least twice beforehand, but one can never prepare enough. There isn't the time to get oneself into a state where one can anticipate everything that's coming up and give a planned performance. So it's essentially an improvisation guided by an author who may have slaved over and endlessly revised a text for the reader to absorb without too much effort. Effort, consequently, is the last thing an audiobook needs to show. And that needs effort.